Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, thank you, Dennis. You are listening to Quarters and Barra. I am Glenn Quatermain, Chief Sports Reporter for the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage, former Eagle, former Perth Demon, Channel 7 legend, host of many functions. What don't you do,
Actually,
Barra?
Last night I was hosting the season launch of the Mighty Perth Footy Club at Newtown Toyota.
How'd
we went
go?
Out to our major
Here's
sponsor.
A nice plug.
Yeah, Joe Zito, yep. he's a legend.
Plug.
Really good fella, and we announced that Matt Taylor will be our captain.
Do you get a car?
No, I don't get a car, okay. No. But I wouldn't expect to. I like my Hyundai i30.
Oh.
And and piloting him back to, where do I live again? Anyway, so we had the launch, and yeah, so Matty Taylor, former North Melbourne player, great demon, he's the captain, and we did nominate that Charlie Constable, who's only come to the club 4 months ago. He's had such a profound effect. He's going to be the vice captain, one of the vice captains. So look out for him, mate. I'm hoping he doesn't play that well that he gets drafted mid season. Because, you know, he's come.
You're hoping he does play that well and gets drafted.
Yeah,
mid-season.
I know. It's a bloody dilemma, though, because he captained the Gold Coast Suns VFL team to a premiership last year. He was on the Gold Coast Suns list.
It's a great win, that.
Yeah, he's only 24 or
it's
something.
It's an underrated win, that.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point, mate. And Andy Brayshaw is his best friend. He lives with Andy Brayshaw. So they call him the fifth Brayshaw, actually.
I do.
Constable.
Oh,
yeah, so, and I think he's going to move out with Sharpie now. He's good mates with Sharpie from the Gold Coast. So great pedigree. So we hope the Demons, hope all Demons fans get on board. Now, I wanted to tell you about interviewing Justin Longmuir yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you weren't there, were you?
Oh, it was my day off yesterday.
Who did you send down from the West? Oh, it was Mitchie.
Yep.
Mitchie Woodcock. Yeah, so he was down there, and I was down
Splinters,
there.
Splinters, yeah, he was down there.
Splinters,
yeah.
And we were. Where were the Splinters?
I don't know, mate. We don't need to explain.
Where did he get
it?
Them? Anyway, so I'm down there. It's a pool situation, so I've got the only camera, right?
Yep.
So what we do in television is if there's two things on, like the Eagles got something.
Yeah,
it's cricket, Sheffield Shield, the two captains. Which starts today, of course.
So you pull it for the other media organisations.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
So I'm representing Channel 10, the ABC, and Channel 9. And yeah, they might send a journo, but I had the camera. Actually, the Shield starts today, doesn't it?
It does. So good luck to the WA boys going for 3 in a row. But
what about that story? Did you get the tip-off
about
Cam Bancroft?
Yes, Jackson Barrett did. Jackson's all over that. Yeah,
he
fell off his bike, unfortunately.
And got knocked him and got a concussion. Did he believe it when he heard it? Because when we heard it, we went, piss off.
Yeah.
He's what? He's been cycling and knocked himself out, can't play in the Shield final.
That's why I'm a runner, Barra.
But
too dangerous out there on two wheels.
How did he... Would you have told the team?
Of course.
Why?
If you're concussed, this is the space we're in now.
What if you don't even open the batting? What if you're bowling first?
Oh, no, mate, concussion doesn't go in. Mate, this is the whole argument.
Well, you're worried that he
21
gets
day
hit
injury.
Again. Hit again.
Longer than 21 days. I'm worried.
You see
that
the waffle came out with the 21 days?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. But I noticed the AFL hasn't.
No, they're still at 11 step 12 days. I'm curious about that, Barry. The argument is that they are an elite organisation with the specialists around the players. So, and the really interesting grey area, Barry, that I know the West Australian Football Commission was worried about is you're an AFL listed player, you're playing waffle. So you're a waffle player and I'm an AFL player. Our heads clash in the same incident. We both got concussion. You're back in 21, I'm back in 12.
Oh, so explain
that. The other way around.
Yeah, explain
that. An AFL-listed player is 12 days concussion post symptoms.
Yeah.
It's an 11-step process. You tick the 11 steps off. Within 12 days, you can play again within 12. In the waffle, it's 21, and there are other protocols involved. But basically, symptom-free 21 days. So if you've got a headache for 4 or 5 days, that's not the 21 days. The 21 days starts post
after the symptoms,
which it should.
Whoa.
So no, but it's key. And this
But isn't the 21 days supposed to embrace all those sort of things? But now you're saying it doesn't start until.
No, it embraces all the steps you must take. So there's all sorts of steps you've got to take during that process. But you can't. It doesn't start till you are symptom free. Interestingly, every level below the AFL now, and the AFL has recommended that every level below the AFL goes 21 days. So you can mark my words, Barra, I would be absolutely shocked if the AFL does not go to 21 days next season.
So they've recommended it. The Footy Commission here has done it, WA Footy Commission.
Didn't have to, but they've already
moved.
Well, they've moved before the AFL anyway because they adopted the AIS guidelines for all community sport before they adopted it for the waffle.
Riddle me this, my friend, Batman.
Yep.
Gaffey's been dropped, Andrew Gaff.
Yes.
So he's playing waffle this weekend, okay? I don't know who they're playing. He gets head clash with a waffle player.
Yep.
Does he have to sit out for 21 days then, or is he in
the... No, 12 days. He's an AFL-listed player.
And the bloke who he hit heads with, he sits out for 21?
Correct.
In the same game?
Correct.
That doesn't sound right, mate.
Well, no, it's the grey area. Well, the argument is...
The grey area? Just not right, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about no grey area. So, it's clear as mud.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm not disagreeing, but the argument is... This
clear
is the
water.
This is how they justify it. So the AFL... You're in the AFL system. You have the medicos
around. No,
they're
not. He's playing in the waffle, mate.
Yeah, but he's still in an AFL system. He's still at the... He goes.
So you mean his care afterwards? He can go back to the club and get better care than the bloke who comes back to my club?
That's the argument.
That's not a very good argument.
Oh, well, okay. But that's
their doctors
argument.
Are better than our doctors.
Yeah, I just think it should be 21 days.
Mate, surely if you hit your head, you hit your head and you're knocked out.
I'm not disagreeing.
What magic potion do they have in the AFL to make sure that they're sweet?
They don't.
Exactly. So you think that they'll bow to the 21 days one day?
Yeah, and I think it should be 28.
28?
Yes, and I think...
Have the month off.
And I think it'll be 21 next year and eventually it'll be 28, as it should.
Jeepers. I can remember being asked what my name was and which way we were kicking. And once I knew that, I could go back on when I got knocked out. And what's your name? Adrian Barrich. Which way are we kicking? To the left. What day is it? Sunday. Sweet, you're on.
Well, thankfully, we have more evidence now. That's
I fluked it too, by the way.
And scans. And, you know, we've moved forward very very well in this area. It's just the AFL.
So would you say that the AFL's dragging their feet?
Yep.
Why are they doing that? And they've got this huge court case. Is it just because of the court case? Well, they don't want to say we've got it wrong all these years.
Well, the class actions are clearly there for the AFL to there's no question.
But it they haven't moved on the 21.
Their movement.
But it hasn't accelerated.
No, not that area. It hasn't. And I'm really surprised by it.
I'm surprised the Footy Commission moved.
By the way, but we didn't tell me about J-Lo.
Yeah, no, I'm going back to that.
So let's go back
to
yesterday's.
That's called a long tease.
Okay,
people are waiting to hear what happened with Justin Longmuir.
So yesterday's press conference.
They can't wait.
Paint the picture. Yesterday's press conference.
Yeah, so
J-Lo.
I'm pulling. So I've got the only camera. I go down there. So I have to go because I've got to ask questions because there's no one else there. Though. Steve, young Steve from Channel 10 came down, which is very professional. Didn't have a camera, but he was there to ask questions.
Allen.
Yeah, which was fantastic for me because then I could, when training started, I could leave my cameraman, I probably shouldn't say this, with him to shoot them. Mate, because he's so pedantic.
Oh, he's a great man, Steve.
Oh, so, mate, and he knows what he's talking about. He's all over it. So he would have shot the shit out of it. So I was brilliant. I did stay.
It's good teamwork.
And anyway, so we're talking to J-Lo. It's mostly about who's going to come in for Oscar McDonald, obviously, and for Brennan Cox, who, you know, we've had that debate here and we will. It'll be a mass debate later on when we talk about the games, right? I wanted to ask him because it was the first time we'd seen J-Lo since his contract deal and his contract press conference. And there'd been some disquiet in the East. In fact, he'd been slammed by David King and the club had been slammed about... So Fox Footy, I think it was David King, so don't quote me on that. Don't sue me.
No, it was David King.
It was King, okay. Yeah. So, and there was, I think, other people jumped on board saying it's a publicity stunt. You know, they should have done it better. Why did he only sign for an extra year? You know, he's basically given in. And when I was talking to the Dockers, they were sort of really confused why they got this backlash, this negative backlash. And they said, hang on, we want to sign him. He wants to sign, and these people are saying, no, that's not good. That is bad. Why is that happening? So I tried to explain how the eastern states might have viewed it and how it's about clickbait and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so I said to J-Lo, I said, J-Lo, there's been a bit of disquiet about your signing. You know, I think they're saying it's a publicity stunt, and I think Nathan Buckley had to come out and defend you. So Nathan Buckley came out and said it's a character assassination.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He actually said that on one of those shows. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, because that's a heavy, heavy term, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Character assassination. And so I said to J-Lo, he's good. He's getting good, mate. He knows how the media's starting to work now. He's a smart guy. I said, so what's your reaction to that sort of thing? And I mentioned Buckley, but I didn't mention who had done the criticism. And his first return to me was, who said that, Barra? So that I had to introduce David King when I had no idea who actually had said it. So luckily Steve Allen was there and he yelled out from behind me, it was Fox footy. And I didn't say, there's no way I was saying David King. Mind you, I'm saying it now, aren't I? But, you know, at the time it was on camera and I could imagine Kingy watching that back in Melbourne going, oh, not bad, Barry, you're throwing me under the bus. But
well, that's okay. David King put it out there. He's a very... experienced media performer. Now he's entitled to his opinion.
Why do you think they took that line, though? Character assassination about a contract, like you shouldn't have signed for...
See, we questioned the contract, though, in the West, and we had every right to do so. But in a, I suppose, in a more balanced way,
explained that he took the trigger out and all that sort of stuff. So, you know that trigger, the six-month trigger that all the coaches have now.
Yes, well, we weren't aware of that at the time. That became apparent about 24, 48 hours later.
Oh, right. Well, so, see, maybe the Dockers need to explain that. That's what I said to their chairman. We went to the Parliamentary Friends of the AFL on Tuesday night. So at Parliament House, were you at that one?
No,
right.
I don't get too involved.
That wasn't a media thing. It wasn't a media thing. Yeah. I was there as the Perth Footy Club president.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm serious. Okay. And there was no media there.
So you're at Parliament now?
Yeah, so...
So is any chance... So are you... Like, are we talking... Are you going to take on Basil?
No, I tell you what. Once I went there, it was a real eye-opener when you go in there and see how the wheels of power work.
Prospects for you and which side would you be sitting on?
One thing I did think...
Right
of,
or left, mate?
I left
blue
there,
or the red?
I left there thinking, Basil's going to love it up here.
You're a blue, mate.
He's going to be all over it.
Yeah.
I can see where he's going now.
Because
I saw the wheels of power, you know, and I was in the corridors of... You know, and you know, there was all the premiers are up there. A couple of them had been to jail, you know, the photos of the premiers. A couple of them actually went to jail. Those photos are still up, which I thought was pretty amazing. You remember Tuck Waldron, former sports minister?
Do I remember him? I bump into a Tuck. What a great man.
One of the great men.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind a beer. And we were walking out and he was pointing out which blokes had gone to jail.
Oh, now you've thrown him under the bus.
Ray O'Connor, Berkey. I was thinking. Anyway, so where were we? So back to J-Lo, right? And we can talk about the Parliament. So the Parliamentary Friends of the AFL have been set up. It was massive. Everyone was there. Don Pike, the chairman of the Eagles, Paul was there, all the Dockers people. Dixie Marshall was and it was, you know what it was about? It wasn't about, and this is what really opened my eyes to where footy's going now, and particularly as a president of the Perth Footy Club, there was no chat about the West Coast Eagles or Oscar Allen's knee or Brendan Cox's hammy and how the Dockers are going. It was about women's footy.
Yep.
Now, the whole focus of the whole, and I think it was driven by Rita Saffiotti, who's a massive supporter of women's sport and women's footy. And so she was there. The premier came in later. David Templeman, the sports minister, he started singing.
He does. That's what he does.
You know what he opened up with?
You don't know what you're going to get with David Templeman. You go to a function. It could be singing. It could be poetry. It could be
He's a genius. He's a genius. He sang.
Entertaining.
Guess what he sang? Most famous footy song of all time.
Up There, Kazali.
Up There, Kazali. Mm. He started off with that line about
when you work,
me.
You earn a living.
And he was sort of composing himself, had a bit of water. Ash from Channel 10 was hosting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ash, the hockey roost legend. Yeah. And he goes, me, I like football. He just started singing. And he had us, I mean, he just stuck in our brain. Mate, he's a gun, that guy. And
Ashley Nelson, she does a great job too when she's MC.
Yeah.
You've got a rival there on the circuit, mate.
Yeah,
hey, listen, before we go
back to J-Lo. Yeah. So what he did was...
Wrap it up quickly.
So then he tried to pull me in to say, David King, we said Fox. But then he answered, and I believe what's happened... is last time he got attacked, J-Lo, remember by John Ralph? John Ralph came out and said that his contract is a long way away. He'd obviously been talking to our mate. Your mate.
Who's our mate? Who's my
your
mate?
Good mate.
Who's my mate?
Your mate.
Who are you talking
you
about?
You know your mate. You know who I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
And you know what else, Water? Quarters? Everyone listening here will know exactly who we're talking about.
Well, good for
and
them.
And you're pretending
who you're talking
that
about,
you
mate.
Don't know
I
who.
Don't reveal any sources
and
that I
everyone
have.
Listening knows. Josh knows. Every bastard knows.
What about
knows.
Your sources? Do you reveal them?
Well...
Come on,
I'm
reveal
not
all your
gun,
sources
I'm
now.
Not,
see, I'm not
no,
in the
I'm
gun.
I'm just saying that your mate obviously told John Ralph.
Did he?
Okay?
I don't know who you're talking
about.
And
he's my mate too, all right? I'll admit it.
I don't know who I'm talking,
yes,
you're talking about.
Yes, oh, piss off.
Anyway, but Ralph is entitled to his opinion too. He's another experienced
gentleman.
Oh,
yeah, and
like
he's entitled
he's
to be
fella.
And he's entitled to be told, mate, you got it completely, absolutely, 100%
well, when we
wrong.
Get it wrong, you got sometimes you got to fall on your sword.
Did he admit that? Has he admitted to
I
that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask.
That like J-Lo's contract wasn't a long way away and it wasn't disquiet amongst the boys.
He may have.
The boys absolutely love Justin Longmire.
Yeah.
They
well, you
love
saw,
him.
You saw that from the response in the players' cafe.
Mate, it was the biggest,
lounge.
Blew the roof off the joint. Mm. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But so what happened then is Nathan Buckley didn't come out at that stage. This is my reading of it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I know anything, but it's my reading of it. So Nathan Buckley didn't come out and defend J-Lo at that time.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He was questioning the rumours.
Exactly. But he didn't sort of get on the front foot with his mate because J-Lo coached under him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his techniques have come from Nathan Buckley. So I believe there might have – well, it feels like there might have been a message come to Bucks from J-Lo going, mate, any danger? Mm. About help me out here. Mm. I'll just – you know that's not right. And so this time he got right on the front foot and he went down the wicket and tonked him back over the head.
Speaking of Buckley and speaking of coaches, that's two in the space of a week. So Matthew Nix this morning, the Adelaide coach, another 2 years takes him to the all end right. of 2026.
So you're segueing away. That's all right.
And Nathan,
if you don't want to know what J-Lo said.
What did J-Lo say? Quick.
All right, I'll quickly pass.
I did ask you to wrap it up quickly.
We went on to John Ralph.
We've been over that.
Okay, all right. So what he said was, I don't care what they say in the East.
Yeah, we saw
I don't care quarters
in
about
the paper today.
What those Victorians say.
It was in the West today.
This is what he meant. Those Victorians have no friggin' idea. They're trying to bring our club unstuck and get hits for the, this is what he really wanted to say. And I only respect people within this club or along those lines as to who knows what's going on. And we know he respects us as well.
Let's hope so. We like J-Lo. We hope for nothing but success this year. And you know what? It's going to be a hard road with those injuries. It really is because structurally they've been a bit unsettled. But you know what? Geez, he coached well at the weekend and they played with a really spirited brand of footy. Now, Matthew Nix, there was conjecture over him. And Nathan Buckley's name was injected into that conversation over the last 24 hours.
Really?
But interestingly, they've now re-signed him to the end of 26. Where they're at, I think that's fair.
Did he get criticised about not signing for a long enough time?
But it's 2 year extension, mate.
Oh, 2 years. Mm. But did he get the trigger taken out?
I don't know.
So
any
for the smart people
who are out there,
the trigger is with AFL coaches, they only get paid 6 months payout.
Right. That's well,
is
not that all happened? Of them. Not all of them, particularly the AFL sort of funded clubs or
yeah,
other
like
clubs.
The Eagles go get stuff. We're not doing that.
So for
because
example,
we got 60 mil.
For example, when Brett Ratton was removed after he'd re-signed a big extension at St Kilda, he was removed a few months, 3 months later, only got the 6 month payout.
Whereas Simo
would be locked. That's different.
A big 2 mil.
There are clubs where, so you would think Clarkson, Ross Lyon, those sorts of players would not be subject to a 6 month
payout. No, Clarkson would be because they've got no money. That's the whole idea is to protect the clubs that have got no money.
I'd be surprised if Clarkson's got a 6 month and not he's not got a trigger.
Mate, if they haven't done a trigger on him, that's disgraceful because they've got no money. Because so what happens then is they go to put their hand out again.
You know, mate, what happens there, mate, is he's not getting removed before his contract's up no matter what happens. That's what happens.
Do we have triggers? Yeah, like Simo. Mm. You're right. Do we have triggers in our deals here? Have you got a trigger?
No trigger, mate. I'm just a rolling contract.
So what do you get paid out?
Okay.
No, seriously, would it be 12 months or 6 months?
I
think it's 6 months now, actually.
Well, there's been
so you've been here 70 years.
I think it's three. I actually think it's three. With the union, we've gone into battle for us and we've changed the parameters a bit. So it's just the way of the world these days, Barra. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah, well, AFL footy's copped it as well, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see.
Shorty's Tips.
And we are joined at this time every week by the great man, David Short. How are you, Shorty?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you, Cordes. Barra, great to be with you guys.
Mate, I was expecting a phone call at three-quarter time last week. I got the Tigers close.
You did get them very close. I think they were a little bit stiff with injuries late in that game. It was an excellent encounter, though, to kick off things last week. The Blues, though, winning ugly, but winning. That's the important thing for them.
And, Geordie, I was impressed that your multi got up too, mate. There was a lot of people on that, I believe, and it did well.
Thank you, Barry. Yeah, it was good to see it get over the line. This time round, we're going to team up with Frio to win on the road, Melbourne and Sydney to both win, and then the Giants against the Eagles to win by 25 points or more. It's $2.70 this week. Give them strength.
That last one sounds spot on. Now, who's the heater this week? Obviously, the Sydney Swans, they're the flavour of the month. They look fantastic, and you've got them shortening.
Yeah, the punters are right with them this weekend at shorter odds. $1.25 into $1.17 in the head-to-head, and they've also been really well backed from a line perspective, 23.5 to 30.5 points. So lots of money around for Sydney to win and win well.
You've been to Ballarat, Shorty?
No, sir, I have not. I believe it can get a little on the chilly side, however.
It can. It's actually a hole in the ground. So that's why you've drive. Seriously, that's why there's the gold mining there. So you drive in and there's just big aerials everywhere, TV aerials everywhere in Ballarat.
Interesting.
But the doggies like it there.
Let's hope they do. They need to bounce back after that performance against Melbourne last week. The punters have gone cold on them there in the hole. They opened $1.49. They're now out to $1.65. So there's not a lot of love for the doggies. Interesting to see what they do with their team lineup for this week.
Everyone's putting the boots into the Pies, the reigning premiers. What say you?
Well, our bookmakers at Tab Touch are also throwing the boots in because at the start of the season, they opened up as the clear flag fancies at $5.25. Since then, they're right out to $9, and there's four different teams in front of them shorter to win the flag. So they've basically slid from top of the wazza to fifth in line in the space of 2 weeks.
Well, let's see how they go tonight. Tom Green, the player to watch at the moment in terms of the Brownlow.
Big style. So he's had a great start to the year, as have the Giants. 67 disposals and 2 goals in his first 2 games. We threw him out in the preseason as our Brownlow pick. He was at $19 at that stage. He's now into second favouritism at $8. So he's off to a really good start. Let's hope he can keep on with the job.
Can I just mention that you know who the Eagle was who went to him last time they played? Ruben Ginby. And do you reckon Quarters, who was at the press conference, asked Ruben about actually matching up with him yesterday? No, he didn't. And I was going through the tape. I was going, surely Quarters will jump in here and go, last time you played on Greeny, how's that going to go?
I was too busy looking at other areas, mate. I was just focusing on the interviews I was doing afterwards. That's a very good point.
You know what's happening?
We're critiquing our media performances now.
I'm getting in early because you'll get me.
But I will.
You know what he was doing, though? Because they give you heaps of interviews now because under the CBA they have to push players out. So how many did you do yesterday?
Just a couple.
Yeah, who'd you do?
Jake Waterman as well.
Yeah, so he was obviously focusing on Jake.
I did ask Green about the midfield, by the way. I just didn't ask him specifically about Tom Green.
Go there. Come to me and Ryan Daniels are sitting there listening, going, go Green, go to Green. You didn't go, mate. I almost text you.
Yeah, okay, mate.
Isn't it great to get access to these players? That's one real benefit. For you guys especially, you can hand pick it.
A long time coming, though. It happens in the NFL.
Just got to ask the right questions, though.
Yeah, you do. All right, criticism noted, pal. It's coming your way, mate. No. Don't worry.
It'll be returned.
Hey, Shorty, thanks for coming in, mate. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Pleasure, boys. Enjoy your footy.
So we better pick some winners, mate, while we're here. Thanks, by the way, to everyone who signed up to the Games Quarters and Barra Tipping Competition. I think we've got 150-plus members at the moment, so thank you very much for joining. Barra. Tonight, 4:30 p.m, St Kilda, $2.45 on Tab Touch. Collingwood, $1.55 on Tab Touch. I'm intrigued. In comes Billy Frampton. Played in the grand final. Didn't touch the footy much, but performed that role where he took Harris Andrews out of the game. And, of course, we saw Brennan Cox apply that role last weekend successfully. Who does he get in the St Kilda side? So who does Billy Frampton go to? I think he goes to someone like a Callum Wilkie. That's my key.
Does he do the cooler on King and let everyone else...
Well, King's... he's up the other end, mate. I'm talking about Billy Frampton going into a defensive forward role.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
So you're negating like a Cullen Wilkie.
That's probably right. You're right, actually. Yeah, sorry, mate. You're right.
Collingwood has got a In terms of matchups, one, it's five of its last six games against the Saints by an average of 27. The last three games between these sides have been decided by less than 20 points. Well, that's no big shakes because Collingwood does like to win the close ones. But, mate, zip two Collingwood. They've got Brisbane at the Gabba next week. I'm tipping they don't want to be zip four. And while we saw a blueprint from Sydney last week with the high press on Collingwood strangling that back line, that's what Ross Lyon's side. In fact, they'll go for an all-over ground press. That's how they play. But I reckon Collingwood get up for this one. I'm going to say they bounce back. I'm going to pick them. I'm not filled with confidence with how they're going at the moment, but you'd expect a response, surely, Barra.
Absolutely. Tell me, who have wielded the axe, haven't they, Collingwood? Who have they left out? Have you got the team there?
I haven't got the team here. Johnson's out, isn't he?
Yeah, so Ash Johnson.
By the way, our thoughts go to him. He's copped an absolute pasting on social media over there in the eastern states. He's had to delete his social media. It's just been horrible for him. So, all the best to him. Bounce back. He's a good player. He'll bounce back.
Is that right? He's copped it on the...
Yeah, he has.
Jeepers. And Tommy Mitchell, what do you reckon? Have you got any...
Tom Mitchell's an in. He's a big in. If you look at what's the big thing about Collingwood at the moment, their ball movement's great, but they're a bit legs slow, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that last week. Side bottom, Pendlebury, Barrett, they're starting to get caught more than they normally would. And that, to me, that's age. That's just... As Lady Sonia McMahon, the wife of the late Billy McMahon, used to say, she felt old age creeping up on her every night. And, that's what happens, mate. Old age creeps up on you. And
so you're,
great players
so
still...
Hang on. So you've said all that, but they're putting him in the team.
Yeah.
So
Mitchell comes in. I think they need some grunt in the midfield, and that's what he gives him. He's
so
an
Frampton,
extractor.
So Frampton, you think, is going to be a cooler. They bring in Tommy Mitchell and McGuinness. Oh, yeah. So they've dropped Noble, Dean, Ash Johnson... And Hoskin Elliott is being managed. Wow, it's a big game for him now, isn't it? There is a massive, massive game.
So who are you
game.
Picking?
I think you're right. You're going to have to go Collingwood. So St Kilda have got Sinclair back and Zach Jones.
He's a big in, Sinclair.
Lance Collard.
Best and fairest last year.
Lancey
Trevor Barker medalist.
Yeah, very good. Our man Lance Collard.
Well, he only played less than a quarter.
Yeah.
Subbed in late, so a bit hard. But that's footy.
No possessions.
That's footy.
And the big one was Brad Crouch.
Yeah.
They dropped Crouch.
Mm.
That is a
tough
statement. One.
Nearly got the chocolates too at GMHBA.
That is a tough one to understand. So he's obviously got a reason there. That'll come out at some stage.
Adelaide v Geelong. Adelaide Oval Friday night, 4:40 p.m. The Crows averaged 103 points from 13 games at Adelaide Oval last year, scoring less than 80 points in all four defeats. They play the Oval well. They're an offensive team. Is Tex Walker back? That's my question.
Yep.
But like Geelong... Got the job done last week. By the way, probably goal of the year from Jeremy Cameron already. He looks in great touch. Lots to like about Geelong's performance. It was at home. This is on the road. I'm going to give the Crows benefit of the doubt and pick them at home.
You are picking the Crows,
are
you?
I am.
Yeah. Well, this is bloody interesting because the coach has just re-signed. So that normally gives the boys a lift because they know that there's...
Why?
Sort of
what difference would that
continuity
make?
Continuity...
Why would that make a difference?
Because if you're in the team, okay, I'll give you the mentality. If you're in the team, you love it because the coach obviously likes you, so you're sweet. If you're out of the team and the coach re-signs, that's when you drop your bundle a bit because you go, well, I've got another 2 years of slaving away, not getting
picked.
Wouldn't
you work harder to make sure you get a game?
No, that's why when a new coach comes in, everyone works hard because they all go, oh, clean slate, you bloody beauty.
Did that happen with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ron Alexander got sacked after the first year. We won 11 games.
I know. How harsh.
11 out of 22. Would have made the finals if they had a final eight.
Yeah.
It was a final Pooparama 4 or 5 or something at that stage, so we missed out.
You didn't do much wrong, Ron.
I was in Asia, actually, when the message came through. This is no bull twang. It was one of the biggest balls ups because during the year I had been on the panel. Remember that 6BR panel show when you go to the pubs? Remember how they used to do that?
It's before I'd got here, mate.
Oh, right. They used to have this panel show at the pubs once a week where they have a big panel of football people and they'd go there on a Friday, record it, and they'd replay it on the Saturday. It was a bloody good concept. They should bring it back, actually. I was on there once when Rod Brown got strangled by John Todd. John Todd went for him. Rod Brown was the president of West Perth.
I remember Rod Brown.
And he grabbed him by the throat. This is while we're on air.
Really?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What was that over?
He got stuck into Toddy and his coaching and you're no good and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, on another day, I was there and Toddy was the guru coach outside of the AFL, right? So he was the Swan Districts coach. And I was in the AFL with Ron Alexander. And Toddy was slipping into us about our performance in 1987, getting pants by the Sydney Swans, blah, blah, record score and all this sort of stuff. And I said, Toddy, please, mate, you've never played in the AFL. And you're probably never coaching it either.
And you were a player at the time.
Yeah, at the West Coast Eagles. So I'm defending my coach.
Yeah, and what did he say?
And it was none too happy, the great man. And guess what happened?
He was coaching you the next year.
So at the end of the season, I'm in Bangkok or something. I get this message from my missus and she goes, oh, you won't believe it. They've sacked Ron Alexander. I go, what? You're kidding. And who's been appointed? John Todd. I go, oh, no.
And how'd it go from there, Barrett?
Not too good, mate. And you know what? He never mentioned it. As soon as I walked in the first day at training, yeah. He just looked at me and it was like, I've got you. Oh. I have got you.
So who are you picking?
Mate, I reckon you're right. I reckon Taylor Walker comes back. And will Dan Curtin get selected?
Oh, let's hope so. Want to see him.
Yeah, Geelong's a good team, but I still think they're a bit fluky, aren't they?
Yep.
Let's get Dan Curtin in there, boys.
Okay, Marvel Stadium, Saturday, 10:45 a.m. North Melbourne, $2.80. The Fremantle Dockers, $1.44. North Melbourne, Barra, had just one win from 10 games at Marvel Stadium last season, with 5 matches decided, though, by less than 10 points. Fremantle, after winning the previous 4 games between these sides by an average of 69 per game, the Dockers lost the corresponding clash by 1 point in 2023. Barra, a lot's been talked about. Cox out, McDonald out, Warner out, at least for this week, probably next, with those concussion protocols. We expect O'Meara to come back in if his knee is okay.
Looked all right yesterday.
I really noted with interest, so... We're talking about who comes in, so, and what do they do with the structure. So Draper and Davies are the two who've been mentioned. Draper's, look, both of them have had exposure during the preseason, so both of them could be picked. I'm a big Draper fan. I just like what I see. So you'd like to see him get a go. The other point he raised yesterday was Liam Reedy to come in possibly and give some ruck coverage so you can get Jackson forward. So there's all sorts of things they could do. Tabner, of course, is available, but Cox was the big move forward, and now he's not there, at least for about...
And he was the one to move back to cover for Oscar McDonald, but he's out as well. So they're both out. I don't know if they're going to play Draper or Hugh Davies now. You know what? I don't know if they need to.
So what are they going to do? Who comes in?
Because I'm just...
Well, you've got to bring players in.
Yeah, I know. I'm just...
There's three outs.
So O'Meara comes in.
Yep.
Heath Chapman looked like he's pretty close again.
Oh, so won't give play him
this
another week.
Yeah, no, he won't play this week. I'm not saying he's the man, but J-Lo was trying to say that we might have to make a long-term decision because these blokes are going to be out for a long time.
They are.
But if Heath Chapman comes back, they're not really going to be.
Why?
And then, because Heath Chapman's a defender, so he goes back.
Yeah, is he a like-for-like, though?
He's tall, mate. He's tall. Yeah. And also, Darcy.
They like him on the wing, you know. They want him moving.
Yeah, they want him on the wing. But Sean Darcy is not far away either.
Yeah.
So it is a long-term thing, but it's not.
Structurally forward, but what about back?
Yeah, well... So that's why I don't think they'll go with Liam Reedy. But and then so Banfield, apparently it was classic Bailey Banfield, three-quarter time, he's in the huddle and J-Lo's gone, we need you to go back, mate, and play as a tall.
And he went okay.
hang on, just don't kill the story.
Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Can you imagine if you've never played as a tall defender before? Like never.
And what
never,
was his
ever.
Response?
He was like, what? He's looking around going, is he talking to me? It can't be me. So he had to go back. Imagine if you've never played on a centre-half forward or centre. It'd be just a – he wouldn't even have trained it. You know what I mean? So he's gone back, did okay. Ethan Hughes was smiling because he was the other one that had to play as a tall. And then they had to push Buddy Hayden Young back as well. So do they do that anyway?
No. Nah.
Don't reckon?
Nah.
Don't mess with the midfield. Don't mess with the injury.
Don't mess with it.
I don't know.
I like their midfield last week. It was a good balance. Don't mess with that. Stick, please, Fremantle. Stick with it.
With Jackson in there, he's going to kill.
Is there Cherry?
It's Cherry, is it?
Yeah, Cherry.
Xerri.
Cherry.
It's Cherry. Mm-hmm. I reckon he's going to get belted.
And you reckon he's going to pluck the cherry, do you?
You want to rephrase that?
No,
or?
Keep going.
Okay. So Coleman Jones, centre-half forward, 200 centimetres.
Mm-hmm.
So that if they do go with the Luke Ryan takes the second biggest guy, because obviously Pierce goes to Larky, who's super, and Pierce was super, wasn't he, on the weekend. So if if our man Luke Ryan is given away 14 centimetres, mm-hmm. he has to play in a
He's played tall before, so he can do that.
Yeah, I know, but it's not ideal. And obviously, you're not going to put Banfield there. So what are your other options? Mm. Maybe it is Draper. Maybe they go, mate, Joshy, come over here, mate.
It's time.
This is it. We feel like you're ready.
Some stage.
And this Coleman Jones, he's no great shakes. So he's probably the bloke that it would be good to debut on, if you know what I mean. Even though you're centre-half back in the AFL at Marvel Stadium. It's going to be interesting to see the teams tonight.
I'm picking Fremantle, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Saturday, 1:35 p.m. MCG. Hawthorne, $3.85. Melbourne, $1.26. Hawthorne, last tasted success against Melbourne in round 4, 2018. They've lost 7 of the last 8 games with 1 draw among them. Look, I'll tell you what, I like the $3.85. Hawthorn wasn't that bad last week. Inaccurate kicking, no defence. I'm picking Melbourne. I really like what they threw up last week, albeit I'm just not sure where the Western Bulldogs are at. But midfield, Clayton Oliver singing there. I think Billings has given them something. And I like their forward line, Barrow, with Ben Brown back there. Yeah. So he just straightens them up. And it allows Fritsch and Van Rooyen, it just takes the heat off a little bit. So that's what I like about that Melbourne structure at the moment. We know how good their defence is. That Hawthorn forward line, lots of... It might give him a bit of trouble now with the Watsons and the Ginnivans and Dylan Moore. Great game last week after throwing off glandular fever. So Hawthorn was smashed in the at the contest last week, and so I think they'll be really. Mitchell would have been right into him this week because that's not normally an area that they get their pants
he's
pulled
proud
down
of that.
In. And you know that is one of Melbourne's strengths. So interesting. But I'm picking Melbourne.
Yeah, you know what worries me? Your man Ben Brown. I know he'd look better, kicked mm-hmm. 2 goals, but he is fluky, isn't he? He's not.
Yeah, but just bring the ball. All you need to do is halve the contest and bring the ball to ground.
And Jacob, I love Jacob Van Rooyen, and I actually think he should come
home.
But
he's not your number one forward. No, and when he is, it's just hard work as a forward anyway these days.
No, what I'm saying is he'd kick 3 goals. I'm thinking... Man, he should come home, that bloke, particularly to West Coast, because they absolutely are going to need someone. Mm.
And I keep saying it, Logan McDonald.
Yeah, well, Jake Van Rooyen would be the one that.
But either or.
Because he's kind of younger, isn't he? Mm. And you know what I mean? And now,
not by much.
And can I just say, told ya, James Sicily cleared. I can't believe you wanted to hang Sicily.
Look, I don't like the decision. I think he should have got a week. You throw the leg out.
Mate,
it's not a good look.
Threw the leg over. Mate, no. It was bugger all.
Anyway, look,
how could
good
you
luck
want
to him.
Assassinate your best player?
I'm not assassinating anyone. I'm just suggesting.
Well, that's a big thing to have on your record, kicking.
Well, he should have.
Down the track, you'd go back and you go, he got done for kicking. That sounds really
sort
bad.
Of, it was sort of like a trip or sort of like a kick
It was
trip.
Sort of like... Bugger all,
no,
that's what it was sort
no,
of like.
No, I thought he deserved a week. I was just, if I take my Hawthorn hat off, I was disappointed
put it back on.
In the
put
result.
Put it back on.
Well, then I'm happy.
Yeah, beautiful. So let me...
Can't ask, win without him, put it that way.
Let me ask you this. He was flat.
Sneaky chance with him.
He was flat, though. He didn't play well.
Yeah, but the thing, just let me... Sicily, this was him too.
Now you're going to defend him.
No, 2-3 years... I'm not. 2-3 years ago, this is the bloke, you went up to him and you had a crack... And you'd put him off his game because he'd see the red mist. The red mist had come and he'd just, all he wanted to do was go around.
What was it on the weekend, the pink mist?
No, he got the red mist again.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Just laugh at him and get on with the game. He was out of that game from that point onwards.
The bomber ran at him.
Hey, by the way.
And I loved how he flipped him.
By the way.
I thought it was fantastic. He went down low and did the UFC flip.
By the way,
what's wrong with that, mate?
Well executed by Essendon because they put him off the game. That's what they had to do. But can I just throw one at you? When you have a heap of players running at someone like they did with Sicily, so pre-planned, if the umpire's standing nearby and you know it's pre-planned and you know they're targeting one player, it's not a good look, right? Just give the opposition a free kick at the top of the square, top of the goal square.
Yeah, that'll shut them up. That'll stop them.
And it takes the sting out of it, and then there isn't that incident where he throws the leg out. I'm just saying...
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
That's because remember when Nick Dacos got attacked? That looked horrible.
Exactly. So you just give the other team a... kick at the top of the goal square. They kick a goal. You're not going to do it again, are you? You're going to think twice.
Who did the Bulldogs do it to once? And a West Coast Eagles bloke. Ooh. They targeted him and they all went for him. Was it Cousins or was it?
Might have
even been Gardner. Hey, mate.
So who are you picking?
I've got a question for you.
Who are you picking,
first.
Hawthorn or Melbourne?
Yeah, just before you do that, Finn McGuinness.
Yeah.
So you're the coach. You're Sam Mitchell.
Yep.
Who do you send Finn McGuinness to? Is it Clayton Oliver or is it Christian Petrarca?
It's Clayton Oliver, because I don't reckon you can tag Petrarca. And what was it, the old Ross Lyon line? Just don't waste your time doing what you can't do. I don't think Petrarca's really taggable.
Not taggable.
No, right. he's too strong out.
And he goes forward.
I think you go...
Because that's what you do. As soon as... If a McGuinness goes to him... Because you know when you get tagged, it just happened to me a bit in the waffle. You're standing in the middle there, and so is me, Wiley, Cousins, right?
Yeah.
And you see the tagger coming, say from South Fremantle, whoever it was, some bloke.
And you say, not me.
And you're just going, oh, go to Wiley. And so when they go to the other bloke, you're just smiling.
Yeah.
So you always see two blokes smiling, one bloke going, oh,
what's the worst thing a tagger ever did to you?
Orchestra stalls.
Yeah.
Grab the orchestra stalls.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty ordinary.
You know, Andrew Jarman once told me that a player, it was the other side.
Oh, yeah, the
Hopewadi. Through the shorts.
The Hopewadi.
Right? And I said, what did you do? And he said, I turned around and smiled at him and said, it's great.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And so he didn't know what to do.
Push back. Who did you decide on? You're going to tag Clayton Oliver?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going Melbourne just based on their performance. But you're right. The Hawks are right in this.
Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Sydney, $1.17 Barra. Essendon, $5. Wowee. Sydney has lost just once against Essendon at the SCG since 2010. With four of the last six games decided by less than 10 points. The Bombers scored 33.3% of their inside 50s last week against Hawthorn, ranked number one. Now, that stat, Barra, if you look at it, Hawthorn, Sicily not playing well, Hawthorn's got some real problems in defence. So, Zach Merritt wasn't... last time they played the NCG, struggled. Archie Perkins was fantastic last week. Essendon, they got the job done, four-goal win. But you can't go past Sydney at the moment, can you?
No, I don't think you can. You're right. And the Bombers, they weren't that impressive. They were probably...
Isaac Heaney in great form.
Oh, mate.
It's a midfield that's just, and at that venue, Grundy.
Yeah, and Grundy was flat at the G.
On that ground, he's going to give him such control.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? He's going to be an SCG expert. Chad Warner, I'm tipping that our teams over here are into his management now, big time.
Because
he's the man. And I believe that he's a big Eagles man, given the East Fremantle and, he's got brothers and all the rest of it. Geez, if they could land, one of them could land Chad Warner, particularly West Coast.
Who are you picking, mate? Sydney, yes?
Yeah, everyone's going Sydney, I guess, yeah.
Okay, Mars Stadium, Ballarat, Sunday, 10 a.m, Western Bulldogs, $1.65, Gold Coast, $2.25. The Bulldogs have won six of their last eight games at Mars, enjoying a 19-point win over the Suns in round 10, 2022. The Suns have lost nine of their last 11 games against the Bulldogs. Had a 7-point win in round 11 last season. They were absolute putrid last week, the Western Bulldogs. But this is in Ballarat. I tell you what, I'm going to pick the Dogs here. I expect a response. They go zip two, the pressure's on them. But if the Suns can pull this off, Barra, we're going to start to believe, aren't we?
No, you're absolutely right there. Yeah, it's the Bulldogs were disappointing, weren't they? And I noticed that, there's been a bit of talk now about, selection decisions and benching Riley Sanders,
Well, he's a first game, subbing him. First game.
Yeah, but did any of the other blokes, get subbed?
It wasn't a great day for the Bulldogs.
Did anybody else get subbed? Any of the greats?
No. Harley, when you say greats, Harley you Reed, mean any of the early draft picks.
Harley
Let's
Reed,
not call them greats
McKercher,
just yet.
None of those.
Geez, McKercher looked good. do you want any more first-round draft picks, North? Seriously.
The big talking point is around Jack McRae, who was left out as well. Mate, how the friend? Can you lay down Jack McRae?
Okay.
And then he get pants.
So you're
picking. That's just setting yourself up. That's a coach killer right there.
Who are you picking?
If the Gold Coast win, If McRae's not in, I'll just be staggered. So we're going the Bulldogs in Ballarat, aren't we?
Sunday,
hey, just one more. Yep. Angus Sheldrick, someone wanted to know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so he's sidelined with a finger injury, so probably won't come
Claremont
back.
Claremont boy, yeah.
Yeah, good fella. Oh, man's a good bloke.
Sunday, 1 p.m. MCG, Richmond v Port Adelaide. Richmond has played on from, not playing on much. Just 12% of marks this season, the lowest percentage in the AFL. Six of Port's last seven games at the G have been decided by 12 or fewer points, winning half of these matches. Barra, Charlie Dixon looked pretty good last week. Their midfield just owned the corridor against West Coast. Richmond has shown a lot of pluck the last 2 weeks. I picked him to beat Carlton last week, fella kick short. I'm not picking him to beat Port this week. I'm on Port Adelaide.
You're on Port Adelaide at the G, are you? Whoa, yeah. I think we have to go that way, don't we? They're going to be, are they heavy favourites? What's the odds there? You got them?
No, that's the team. I just haven't got them, mate.
Yeah, Charlie Dixon, Todd Marshall, Jeremy Finlayson, Jack Revolt.
We'll give you those odds in just a second. I'm just doing my research.
How could Jake
stand by?
Surely they've got to bring back Jacob Kaczynski, who's a giant, to help him combat that scenario. But it's a tough one. Yeah, I think we go Port, and then believe that Port can win in Melbourne and do well.
Well, let's get on to the last game. And I'll come up with those odds in a moment. Optus Stadium Sunday, 3:50 p.m. The Giants flying at the moment, Barra, $1.07. West Coast, $8.50. Barra, the Eagles reached 100 points just once in 2023, which was against the Giants in round two, a game they won by 19 points, Barra.
Can you just repeat that again?
So the Eagles only reached 100 points once in 2023.
How the hell did West Coast win that game? Can you recall it?
Oh, yeah.
What was going on?
Jakey Waterman kicked three.
I've blocked out the whole season, so I've got no idea.
I think they just got GWS early. Yeah, early in the year.
That's unbelievable.
Well, don't forget, GWS up until about mid-season was struggling a bit, and then they just...
Yeah, oh, how was the Eagles going?
Yeah, I know. That's right. You know what? I'll tell you what. They've only won one of their nine games at Optus, the Giants. It was a 38-point win over Frio in 2020. I can tell you what, they're going to make it two at the weekend. A midfield, you know, Green, Cornelio for the inside, Kelly Whitfield on the outside. A backline, you know, all-Australian defender in Sam Taylor, Buckley. Taylor would have got Oscar Allen. Oscar Allen's out. So Darling probably gets him. Buckley probably goes to Waterman. I think they bring in Ryan Marich. Iden probably gets him. The West Coast defence, if they're under siege, as we expect them to be, there's only so much they can do. But, you know, you've got multiple options there, GWS. Hogan, Brown, Cadman, and they're the talls, mate, before you even talk about the Toby Greens, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm trying to say, I suppose, is they're a lead on every line, GWS. So it's a pretty big audit for West Coast, and I'm picking GWS.
Massive. I don't think anyone's picking. Just in that other game, Port Adelaide favourites, $1.48, Richmond $2.65.
Thank you to our producer for those.
At the MCG. Thank you, Josh. And in this game, of course, the Eagles would be long, long odds. What would they be at home? This might be their highest.
8.50? Or reckon
at home. Can you believe that?
Do you reckon they weren't longer than that last year at points?
At Optus?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oof. First game at Optus as well, so there'll be a lot of hype. There's the Cousins game beforehand where all the ex-players are playing.
Yes.
There's the banner.
You didn't get a Guernsey in that?
No, because my kids are way too old. Yeah, it's only for the you've got young kids. He's got Bobby and Angelique and young Prittis and all that are doing it. Then they've
good
got
luck to the boys. And boys, just take it easy. We don't want to see any hammies out there.
Yeah, there'll be something going on. Now, I wanted to say I saw the Eagles waffle team played against Perth. We played like 12 of our guys out. We played eight Colts, actually, and we rested like 12 guys, so they beat us. And I know we didn't have our best team in, but Harry Barnett, he actually showed a bit. He was like a standout in the game, along with Derek Hall.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's...
Well, Clay's been injured.
Yeah, but he's played, right?
Yeah.
He played the whole game. And so I don't know if he's knocking on the door for Gaffey's spot or not.
If he's ready, he comes in,
yeah,
for sure.
Well, he can't be far away, but I hope that
can
they
play.
Give Harry Barnett a go.
Well, what you could do then is you could get Bailey Williams forward, which is going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I let him have a crack in the ruck. Oscar Allen being out, Briggs is the ruckman, obviously, for the Giants. So it's not like he's super.
He's workman-like.
He's good. He's good, but he's not.
He's still going to work you over.
I reckon Tyrell Dewar might play as well. They really like him.
Yep.
I don't know what – and Jermaine Jones, I don't know what he's done, but he's been playing in the waffle. So So they've got options. Losing Oscar Allen, I saw a couple of Eagles people today and they were just, oh, my God. Mm. And I think...
Bone bruising's a tough one.
Isn't Hewitt having surgery as well?
Yeah, so, he's going to be a while.
So that means... What has happened there?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, is it this... Don Pike was on the front foot yesterday saying, look, it's just circumstance. But, I mean, is it the surface? You're out at Mineral Resources
Park.
It's not
the surface.
It's not? So do you have any issues out there?
Is it a jinx?
Seriously, does Perth have any issues on that venue?
No. We monitor it. They've softened it up for sure. Right, you're right. Ryan Marrick's got to play.
Yep.
So maybe Barnett. I don't know if they bring him in. But I'd like to see him turn the wheel.
What is the issue, though, with the injury? Were they fit enough before? They've got the new fitness team in now. Is it I don't think
the Eagles have got a crisis in injury.
Okay.
Because I think they've got 9 injuries. Most clubs have 7.
Jeez, these are important injuries, though.
But Oscar was...
He's the one. Well, Flynn's a big injury for them, given what they wanted to do with the structure of their team.
And that was just bizarre.
Hasn't played for him yet, but he was important.
Yeah, so I just don't... I'm trying to work out... Andrew Gaff playing last week... Was that the way to go?
No.
I know. So that still shows that maybe there's some thinking there that... Because I was staggered. You know when we met...
Chesser showed a fair bit when he came on. He showed a fair bit when I came on against Adelaide.
But the fact that they went with Gaff... I know it's 267 games or whatever. He's equal Djakovic now. He's 4th most games for West Coast Eagles.
Well, hang on. But he's getting
276,
older.
276, 260, something like that. But you know when we interviewed Simo at the club launch, right? And he said that this time last year they thought they could contend... I mean, that was a remarkable statement, wasn't it? Last year, they thought they could win the premiership.
Well,
at that time,
I guess if you had an injury, you got all your senior at that stage.
Just think about it.
Yeah, I know. I agree,
I know you've got to be confident when you're a coach and think you can do anything. And we did it in 2018. You know, Robert Wall said we'd finish bottom, and we won the frigging flag. But did you think last year they could win the flag? Yeah.
No.
So.
But I think he thought senior players coming back, if they stayed in the team.
Is that what has been the problem? That they've had this false...
Yeah, possibly.
Because they are self-believers, West Coast. Mm. I mean, our philosophy when I was there was always, you know, chip on our shoulder, defy the knockers, you use that as motivation. They don't know what they're talking about. But sometimes you've got to be realistic as well. And that's why maybe they didn't turn the wheel on Gaff and those guys early.
Well, they're starting to turn it now and they are realistic. And I think,
now it's too late.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to you, Quarters... What has happened over these 3 years?
Well, when you say it's too late, isn't this the whole point of the West Australian holding them to account last year? I mean, we were into them, and for good reason, because it's been too slow. Mm-hmm. The hand's been off the tiller.
No, certainly in terms of so we're trying to go back on. So I reckon 2020 they made a massive blue.
They
sulked. Let me just finish this. They sulked on COVID. When they had to go and stay in the hubs, they should have just done what Richmond did and said, you know what, we can win this, we can pinch a grand final here and pinch a premiership, and that's what Richmond did. Then the Tim Kelly thing was a problem that cost him as well, and now they've finally come to a reality check. They've gone, you know what, we do have to turn the wheel, and it's going to take another 2 years. So they're going to be down for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A club like that, all powerful, must be so hard to swallow for them.
That's the way it is. Now, before we get on to our mail, I just wanted to say there's a Channel 7 Derby lunch coming on. Tickets are available. AFL Chief Executive Andrew Dillon will be the guest speaker. So you can join Dillon and other special guests for an afternoon of premium beverages, delicious food, and an abundance of laughs to celebrate. An abundance of laughs, Barrow. Will you be there?
It's funny, man. I'll be providing the laughs as well.
Okay.
That's before the Derby, right?
That's before the Derby. The lunch is on Friday, April 19, 1 p.m. at Crown Perth. You can book now at 7westevents.com.au. And the link is also in this podcast description when you download it. Barra, it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel Mailbag.
And thank you to Thirsty Camel. This week there is a great special there by a specially marked pack, and enter to win a Super Weekender. Harn 3.5%, 30 pack of cans, only $55.99 a block. This week, Barra, we have a $50 gift voucher to give away thanks to Thirsty Camel. We'll be giving that away shortly. Please get your questions in to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au for next week. They're starting to roll in. Keep them coming. This one from Simon from Kawaramup. Hi, boys. Just a question from the Tigers-Blues game last Thursday night. In the last quarter, with 10 minutes left in the game, there was a score review after the Nick Vlastune tackle saved a goal. Do you remember that one, Barra?
Yeah,
It was a bit like the Rewalt Shaw snuck on him, up on him like a librarian, the great line from Dennis Cometti. The review deemed it to be umpire's call of a behind. When Vlastune took the kick out, the umpire set the Carlton defender's mark at the top of the goal square. When he took the kick out, the Carlton player ran across and disrupted, forcing a turnover. I thought that after a behind, the defenders have to be at least 10 metres from the top of the square. Is the rule different after a score review? It stood out, but no one seemed to notice. Just want to check where the rules are. Well, I should have done my research in this one, but the rules say you're 10 metres. That's wrong if he was at the top of the square.
I'm just thinking now.
Yep.
When you were reading that, I was just going, I hope that Quarters has done his research.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got a clue.
No, well, I'm telling you, it's 10 metres. That's wrong.
It is wrong. So they made a mistake today.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
What about the rule?
Well, let's look. We'll come back to you that on next week.
We'll
no, it is, mate.
Simon. He must. I know Simon, I reckon.
A behind is a behind, Barra. The rules are the rules. You've got to stand the 10 metres.
I reckon I can tip Simon. I reckon he'd be sort of a bit younger than us, love a bit of surfing down there, enjoying the life in that magnificent part of the world.
Having a nice picnic in the main town there with the cows everywhere.
What, Dunsbury?
Beautiful spot. On the road between Margaret River and Augusta, great part of the world.
We will get back to you, Simon. We're sucking up
to you
now.
No, I'm already telling you now. It's 10 metres. They got that wrong.
I so hope that you're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I know you do. Okay. Hi, guys. Given the experience profile of the team the Eagles had put out there at the weekend, the performance would suggest a long and painful real boot. Well, we've just been talking about that. Most experienced players would hang around the bottom of most AFL teams. Of the players out there, only the following would be likely to be 50.
Yeah, this is good.
Anyway, few of those out there on the weekend are tradable, and if they are, they should be traded for draft picks now as a matter of urgency. This brings me to Jake Waterman and Oscar Allen, who, given their age profiles in 5 years, should also be considered for trade. Jeez, that's a big call to speed up the process. This is going to be a long and painful period for the Eagles fans. And he's listed Reed, Chesser, Brockman, Jinby, Hoff, Hunt, Jamison and Williams. I don't know how old Hunt is. Oscar Allen will be 30 in 5 years' time. Jake Waterman, 31 in 5 years' time. That's from Alistair in Mount Lawley. They're not trading Oscar Allen. I'll give you the tip. Jake's just signed a new contract. He's happy where he is. He's obviously had that illness at the end of last year, which he's now, he's got that under control. So great news for him. Oscar's just not being traded. He's the co-captain. They very much see him as a part of the structure of the team going forward. So, I mean, you know, I suppose if a team threw three first-round draft picks at him or something, you know, but he's not going anywhere.
You can't trade your captain. There's no doubt about that. But Jake Waterman, he'd be thinking, well, okay, you're Jake Waterman. What are you thinking right at this time?
I spoke to him the other day, and he's happy where he is.
What's he thinking?
He's happy where he is.
Oh, really? Is that right?
He's getting a
game. What's he really thinking?
He's getting a game.
Yeah, that's right. He's getting a game. But did he make the right decision?
Well, he's getting a game.
Yeah, well, if I was him, and I know Muddy well, I would be thinking, jeepers, I should have left. And you know what? That guy's spot on. Who else could they trade? Tim Kelly, probably.
Not trading Tim.
He's already been traded, so that's a bit weird. They're just bereft of talent to trade.
So here's where a mid-season trade, which will come in next year, is. So what you could do, and I know I keep going back to Jack Darling, I'm not picking on him, but if you're a team like Melbourne who needs a forward and you could get Jack while the premiership window's open and the Eagles could get another early rounder. See, this is where that makes sense, Barra, and this is where that mechanism comes in.
Well, mate, let me just tell you this. Bulldogs are in a very similar situation. So they've signed Norton for a monster seven-year deal.
7 or 8 years,
So now Tasmania's coming in. Everyone's shitting their pants about, oh, my God, what's going to happen? We're going to lose all our best players, right?
Yeah, but the funny thing is,
you watch. Yeah. Hugel Hagen will sign probably this week for a monster deal. So then Tim English, what do? Do the Bulldogs sign him for a monster deal? Or
the Eagles
they go,
want him.
Or do they? If you're the Bulldogs, I reckon they are in that situation where they trade English. They go, oh, let's get what we can for him. Let's send him to Richmond. Let's get some picks. Or they probably wouldn't get a player.
He looked good because
there's no
perfect
one in Richmond
for the Eagles.
Now, it'd be great to come home, but he doesn't want to come home, does he?
Yeah, well, he likes
his girl from over there.
He does like Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, but he could come home, I suppose. But he wouldn't come to West Coast, mate. You wouldn't leave the Bulldogs and go to West Coast.
Yeah, it's a hard. You'd have to be.
Because that would be a money decision.
Geez, you'd have to sell
it. It's a great club and all that, but if he wants to win a flag, which all players do, he'd probably try to get
in. Is he going to win one at the Dogs? You're going to win one at Richmond?
Yeah, well, that's right. So
Richmond's almost the list that's in the worst position with Tassie coming in.
Yeah, true.
Because they're not started the rebuild yet.
So who needs a ruckman? That's what you'd be looking at.
But Eagles would be handy. Yeah. Well, they've got Flynn. But,
no, but I mean, he's not going to come. A good club that needs a ruckman. A Melbourne club that needs a ruckman. He
you
should
know, where
be looking
at be, well, I'll tell you where he'd be handy is Melbourne, because Gawn needs some help. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it with Grundy, but... You know,
that didn't work. But no. You wouldn't trade Oscar Allen. But that's a great email. Well done, mate.
This one from Michelle. Hi, Quarters and Barrett. Why does the AFL continue to give WA the late Sunday fixture at Optus Stadium? Officially listed as night fixtures in round 1, 2, 5 with Easter in the gather round, stopping that momentum. Then again in round 10. Any given bloody Sunday, Sunday bloody Sunday from Michelle.
Michelle
well,
knows-
we got the graveyard shift, but... You know, I think, or off-pist, you could say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think...
And you are off-pist,
no, well,
aren't you?
I'm not. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, why are you doing
55
that?
55 days without a drink.
Well done, mate. What's going on there?
Because I'm an athlete.
What, are you training for a marathon?
Yeah.
Really? Which marathon?
The Perth Running Festival later in the year, the Perth Marathon.
What year?
October.
What month? October?
Mm-hmm.
You're off already for October.
No, I'm not going to be off it for the whole year.
Oh, okay.
Just having a bit of a stint.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Yeah, that's bloody good. Hey, let me just talk about that timing, because this is obviously a Channel 7 thing. The three-hour time difference in the east obviously makes it tricky. Obviously, they're off-pist, they're off Broadway because of their performances, so you've got to cop that a little bit. But the three-hour time difference means it's not great for Western Australia because it pushes beyond 6. So you would have noticed on the weekend that it was three-quarter time at the Dockers game when we went to news at 6 o'clock. So 7 would have a decision as to, well, it's only three-quarter time. We say, I flick over to 7, mate. But we'd much prefer to go off the back of the footy. One, it's 2 hours difference. So when does the time change happen, the daylight saving?
We got...
Is it the end
next
of this
weekend?
Week?
No, the week after next, I'm pretty sure.
At Easter, is it? Mm. Yeah, all right. So then everything will be back. That'll be a lot better for you anyway.
Right. Now, we're going to miss a few here because we've been gibbering on a bit, but we will try and read them out on Tuesday, so don't fret. This one, our old mate Raul is back.
Raul.
G'day, Q and B. With both Freo and West Coast now with a few injuries, I believe they are both disadvantaged due to the waffle season hasn't started. Starts 28th of March. I noticed the virtual VFL competition started last week, which is now in alignment with the AFL season. To compensate with the later start of the waffle, do you believe both the Eagles, Rezzies and Pules should play each other for points in consecutive weeks while the other waffle teams have the bye? Both games could be played as a curtain raiser at each respective Freo and West Coast game, with the members getting a good look at the talent coming through, or just simply start the waffle season at the same time as the AFL. Cheers, fellas. That's from Raul. That's a really good email. Oh, sorry, my apologies. VFL actually starts this week, but you get my drift. It's a really good point. Of course, you got the curtain raiser this week with the oldies, but I don't mind that at all.
Who was Raul? Raul, very good. He's an ideas man, Raul.
He is an ideas man.
We haven't worked out his pronunciation yet.
No.
Only thing there is I'll update you on is I feel like West Coast are drifting towards a reverse draft with their team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go to the VFL. I think it's way too hard, particularly flying in teams here.
Well, that's what Wayne Martin's been telling us. He says nothing happening there anytime soon.
Yeah, well, it's not up to him. So.
No, but he's the chair of the... Well, no, but he's the chair of the West Australian
matter,
Footy Commission.
Mate. It's their team.
Well, they run the West Coast Eagles.
No, they don't.
They hold the
you
license.
Think they do.
No, they hold the license.
The Eagles go, we're doing
they
this.
They don't run that. But yeah.
And we're putting in $600,000 to play in your competition. We'll just pull that out. Mm. What they got to eventually with the VFL thing was, oh, how about this? We just fly our 6 to 10 blokes who are our Eagles people with the team, and we pick up the rest of the team in Victoria.
Yeah,
so a bunch of amateurs, we do that. And when in Western Australia, we have a bunch
of
amateurs.
That's untidy.
I know. So that's exactly where they got to. They went, no, that's not going to work.
No, it's messy. Too messy.
So they got, so just stay with me. So that we're not flying them over. It's too expensive. We're not flying over some VFL club, you know, for this. Then they had that idea. They said, that's not going to work. That's crazy. So now it feels like they're getting to the stage where they're saying, righto, let's just have a reverse draft into the waffle where we push our bloke. It worked back in the old days. So maybe the players that have clubs already, so West Australian boys go back to their own club.
What happens with Freo?
Well, Peel, that's the thing. does say so?
No, they're sticking with Peel at the moment. That's working all right.
Yeah, yeah, Frio's fine. I'm talking about West. But I thought you were going to say, well, what happens at Clay Hall? That's the interesting bit. Because if you push all your West Australian boys back to their team, he goes back to Peel, which is not ideal because that's a Dockers team. So maybe Peel stay out of it. Clay Hall goes into a...
Messy, Barra, why don't you just stick with the West Coast team in the waffle?
Yeah, but if they don't want it, they don't want it. Mm. You know what I mean? If they start getting pounded, they're going to say, we're not doing this. This is pointless. Mm. Mind you, they beat us by 45 points. So that game was pivotal because we played against them. We went in underdone. They win by 45 points. So the Waffle Cubs go, oh, the concessions are too good. Too good. Yeah. That should not happen. But if we'd pounded them, then the Eagles would have gone, well, these concessions are too weak. But I reckon it's going to be a reverse draft, all right? Mm. I don't know how it's going to operate, which means we get first pick.
I think that's untidy with Peel having a team in there. I don't like it.
So we get first pick.
Yeah.
So I would pick Andrew Gaff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he plays for us all season, probably. Pretty handy bloke to come in, isn't it?
Oh, he would be, yeah.
Then, I mean, Harley Reid's in that draft, but no one's going to pick him until late, are they? Because he's not going to play at all. I think that's the way to go. I actually think... pushing back blokes to the local comp and spreading them out, I reckon that's the way to go. And I reckon maybe that's the way they'll do it.
Last one, Ash from Applecross. And I'm glad he mentioned this because we'll just very briefly talk about it. G'day, Quarters and Barra. If the Tasmanian government is so concerned about the cost of the new stadium at Macquarie Point, then the simple solution to save a few $100 million is to take the roof off. If you actually take a look at the average monthly temperatures for Melbourne and Hobart, you'll see it's only 1 to 2 degrees cooler in Hobart than Melbourne and very similar rainfall. Also, if they're only having a boutique 23,000-seat stadium, I'd imagine it would only be two tiers, which wouldn't be high enough for a roof. The roof works at Marvel because it's a three-tier stadium. What are your thoughts? Cheers, boys. Ash from Applecross. Really good email. The election's this weekend, Saturday. If Rockliffe gets in, the incumbent, then the Liberal government, that they'll build the stadium at Macquarie Point. If he hasn't got a majority government or if the other mob, Labor, gets in, they're in a lot of trouble.
Only on the stadium, though.
On the stadium only, not the team.
Yeah, because you can't roll back that.
Their argument is to play it at the existing venues, which it will be the first year anyway.
But
the point on the roof is big. There's a lot of discussion around this that will be considerably cheaper if you don't have a roof. Like, it is a pretty bloody cold place.
I know. Does it rain much? We have more rainfall, don't we?
Yeah, but it hammers down quickly here. I think it's very similar to Melbourne in that regard. So it's a really good point. It is a winter coat. But then spectators now expect comfort, Barry.
Do you do it properly? That's the thing, isn't it? Shall we do it properly? Get a stadium with a roof, with a 30,000
people. It's not our money, but if
I was struggling to buy groceries or something or I couldn't pay my electricity bill, I'd be thinking, what? You want to spend that much money? How much is it? A bill on a stadium.
So Pete and Ben from Currumbin Valley in Queensland, and Pete, we will get to you next week, I promise. Sorry we didn't get to you today. Barra, who's our winner? Is it Ash from Applecross? Is it Raoul? Is it Simon?
Simon, the surfer, I thought was pretty good.
I like Simon from Crowram up. Yeah. Given the top of the square. And we'll confirm whether that was fact or not. We'll confirm that I was actually right, Barra. So, Simon, you're our winner. Please get your details into Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. Please send your mail in to that address. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch. Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you so much to our major sponsor, Tab Touch. Thank you, Barra. Thank you, listeners. Good luck with your tips for this weekend.